This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to this hour of worship on this Lord's day. Let us join together in our call to worship. Whom do you seek here in this place? We seek God, our Creator, who brought us to life. Who has told you of God? Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, has shown us the love of God through his life. Be strong in the Lord, who provides for your every need. The Holy Spirit, our sustainer, strengthens us throughout our lives. Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Joshua, the 24th chapter, selected verses beginning with verse 1. And it can be found on page 205 in your Pew Bible. Listen for the word of the Lord. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to the people, "Now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord, our God, who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed, and the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also serve the Lord, for he is our God." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Reading today comes from the letter of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. You can find this on page 184 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Listen to the word of God. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of the Lord's power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all these things, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
And our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of St. John, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 56. Listen for the word of the Lord. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Think with me for a moment about a time you felt completely secure and loved. Close your eyes if you would like. Who is there? Where are you? What do you hear? How do you feel? When did you first recognize this great love? Hang on to these moments of feeling fully loved. Remember and recall them as we journey with our ancestors. For it is these moments that carry us through our difficult days. For me, my earliest, most fond childhood memory is sitting on my grandfather's lap, listening to nightly musical numbers on the television. Cradled in his arms, I knew I was deeply loved. Yet just as I began to close my eyes, the TV became silent, and my grandfather began to sing. Each evening, the song he sung was "Jesus Loves Me." On this particular evening, I knew the love he taught was greater than the love he could ever show me. It was this greater love that would carry me through the rest of my life. But what is this greater love? Is it simply a feeling that makes us feel warm and fuzzy inside, or is it being fully supported and secure? Perhaps it's being able to rest, to simply be yourself and feeling fully embraced at the same time. This idea of love is hard to describe. It's a feeling that's even harder to set to words when we place it in the context of our faith. Today, in our Old Testament lesson, we come to the familiar yet unsettling words of Joshua's farewell speech. Words that we embroider on our entryways, words that are etched on our hearts, words that are committed to our memory. Words we know, but do not fully understand, because often we placate them on a plaque aside, outside the original story. To better fully understand these final words of Joshua to the Israelite people, recall with me some early stories of the Bible. The book of Genesis is about beginnings, the creation of the world, the responsibility bestowed on humanity, the provisions of God for creation. It shares the early stories of our life upon the earth, brotherly love, family anger, our inclination to sin, God's disappointment, the flood, God's new covenant with the people, and God's promise to never leave us again. Yet, immediately following these promises, the Hebrew people find themselves in the wilderness, wandering, exiled from their homes in the book of Exodus. Wandering, but with a prophet to lead them, Moses. Leviticus and Numbers teach of God's law, how one should treat their body, how one should worship God, and how one should live into the responsibilities bestowed upon them. In Deuteronomy, the people continue to wander with Moses and are reminded of the law, the Ten Commandments, which we summarize each Sunday morning. This book ends in hope and grief as God's people are granted permission to enter the Promised Land. But they learn that their beloved leader is not permitted to go with them. Instead, God has appointed a new prophet, Joshua, to lead the people into the Promised Land. The end of Deuteronomy grants hope as the people stand on the brink of the wilderness and the Promised Land. It is on this edge that the burdens of the past lighten from their shoulders, and this intermediary grants a glimpse that tomorrow will be better, full of promises made by God. Promises figuratively as they wander far and worked under unfathomable conditions. Promises literally as they gaze over the mountaintop and see the land traveled towards. Yet, it is this place, where Deuteronomy ends, that there is a deep yearning to settle and not go any farther. However, we know that God is a God that nudges the people of the covenant to continue to move forward, wandering into the unknown and the unfamiliar. Joshua invites us into the Promised Land through an experienced reality we can relate to. The book begins with a great hope as Joshua is granted permission from God to cross the Jordan and go into the Promised Land. From there is a series of spies, conquest, occupation of Jericho, persons of trickery, battles, defeats, discussions, and disagreements on territories. Then it ends with a 3-chapter farewell speech, which includes our passage this morning, and then Joshua's goodbye to the people before his death. Really? It's this passage taken from the context of battle and conquering, warfare and death, that we choose to place as a colorful greeting on our doorpost. On one hand, this seems like an incredibly crazy idea. But on the other hand, perhaps it is what we are called to do as people of faith. We are here. The Jordan River became dry, passable by foot. God shared his instructions, and reality greets. A reality lived each day, but not foreseen in the Promised Land. It is a reality that our ancestors find themselves in, a reality of a changing and chaotic world. They dream for a restful place that meets their deepest hope of a home to call their own, only to be greeted by conquest and defeat. It is here that we too, 21st century Americans, find ourselves living at times. Our country is a prosperous one by the world's definition of wealth. Our lives, even when they are difficult, are relatively good. Few of us have to worry about where our next meal is coming from, and even less of us worry about where we might sleep tonight. And even as we have enough, we are given enough to share with our neighbors in need. Even with this reality of our needs being met beyond necessity, We live in a world that breaks our hearts. Every day we see politicians who misuse their power. And at times, even church leaders wander in wildernesses of questionable morality. Violence, war, natural disasters, too little rain drying up crops, too much rain flooding fields are the events that scroll across our backlit screens. Often we feel distant from these realities portrayed on the monitors before us, and at other times they feel way too close to home. No matter the instance, we all feel, see, and know that the world we live in is not the promised land we imagined or our forefathers foresaw. It is this land, one flowing with milk and honey, that harms others, and if we are honest, harms us at times. It is in this context that calls us to cling to these familiar words of Joshua, even when we do not fully recognize the original setting reflected in our daily life thousands of years later. Even more so, it is important to not only recognize this context, but the few verses that our lectionary skips of the Hebrew people, recalling and remembering all God has done for them this far. Remember it, Abraham? Recall that time God sent Moses to lead us. Let's reminisce together about the time God delivered us from Egypt. Remember, remember, remember? These people and places have left significant scars upon their hearts. Scars because most are places of hurt that God has turned into a story of redemption. These marks, scars on their hearts are what allow them to answer the question, choose this day whom you will serve. Will you serve the God you once served that stayed behind you when you had no choice but to leave the land? The gods of Ammon and Canaan? It sounds appealing at first, perhaps, until you continue the story and remember that God, the Lord, did not stay there, but wandered with them through the wilderness. It is this same experience that leaves scars on our hearts, beckoning us to remember all God has done thus far, as we hope for God's next move in our lives. They were, we are, a people forced from a land and wandering far. Our God, the Lord, wandered with them, guiding the way. God, too, wanders with us each day. It is this same God that led the way so long ago that wanders after us when we travel astray. We are prone to fill the gaps in our hearts with the newest electronic device, the best game system on the market, the finest rug, or the most precious jewelry. And it is here, it is there in those moments, our God continues to find us, filling our hearts even when we forget we need to be fed. It is this fulfillment that we remember that allows us to recommit to God. Think back with me to the moments we recalled just a short while ago. Moments of love, of comfort, of complete security. For each of us, these moments occurred at different points in our lives. For me, it was in the comfort of a loving childhood, constantly surrounded by family. For someone else, maybe this feeling occurred in the midst of a difficult struggle. A time that offered some respite in the midst of a chaotic and changing world. Or perhaps it was a time that you finally found a new understanding after wandering and searching for a prolonged period of time. No matter the experience, no matter the circumstance surrounding these moments of pure love and comfort, they all have a common core. They are a feeling of abiding love, a feeling that this love is meant for us, lives inside us, and will journey forward with us in the days ahead, despite what comes our way. It is this context that makes these words of Joshua so comforting to us. It is this comfort that allows us to take these words from a book we otherwise prefer to have no association with and place them at the center of our lives. These words call us to a time of remembrance, to recall what God has done, the ways the Lord has carried us through the past, as they invite us to choose our response, even if we have to commit and recommit to God time and time again. These words grant us hope as we are assured that as we go, as we wander, God wanders with us. Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. He is the God who brought us from. Therefore, we will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Our lesson from Joshua ends with fearing the Lord, and this sometimes feels more like a threat than reassurance, a threat implying that God has done all these things and given us one more chance, so we better not mess it up again. It is here that we, as readers of Scripture, have the advantage of hindsight, for we know what comes next. After Joshua dies, we will enter the era of judges and kings, and this will not go so well for the people. Even as the people try, they will mess up, they will fail, and God will continually wander, choosing them and choosing us. It is this Lord that is indeed our God, a God that wandered with them in the wilderness, who wanders with us in our doubt, who wandered with them after continuing to make new covenants, who wanders with us in our confusion, a God who recognizes that we wander far, so far that a heavenly presence was insufficient, and Jesus came into being, walking among us, wandering with us. And Jesus wandering, he reminded us time and time again of God's unconditional love, love that is hard to describe, love that cannot be fully comprehended, love that we cling to and wander from, love that finds us and abides with us, never to leave us. It is this deep, unconditional love that my early childhood memory points towards, and perhaps your memories as well. Drifting off to sleep in my grandfather's arms, as he sang, he taught me about Jesus' love for all. Resting securely held, he showed me a love that only originates beyond human entities, a love that can only come from God. God has held us since the beginning of time, even when we did not recognize it. God sent Jesus to teach us, to sing with us, to follow us, to wander with us. Most importantly, Jesus came to wander with unconditional love, a love that goes beyond all bounds, a love laid upon a cross with arms spread wide open, allowing our earthly lives not to end in its pain, but in eternal love. Even as this love never leaves us, we do not always recognize it. It is here that a closer look at John's gospel gives a sense of renewal alongside Joshua. At various times in our life, we each have many responses to Jesus, and we see five of those in our passage from John today. They are complaining, disbelief, rejection, professions of faith, and betrayal. The disciples, every one of them, experience these emotions throughout their wandering with Jesus. They grumble in verse 61, they are in shock and disbelief in verse 64. In verse 66, Jesus' followers' reactions shift as they completely walk away. Peter comes to the rescue with a profession of faith in verse 68 as he assures Jesus that the 12 will not leave him. The chapter then concludes with the disciples who just confessed their faith, betraying Jesus. walking away once again. Even with these reactions in front of him, Jesus is slow to point fingers and does not cast the followers out. These reactions are for them to recognize on their own. Instead, Jesus shares that he is the one that grants eternal life through the Father. He is the living bread that is shared with all. Bread that in a moment he invites us to share as a reminder of our abiding with him and abiding with one another. Bread that is offered when we are at our best, and bread that is broken on our behalf when we can do better. This day, we will face many competing gods. Those that want to suck energy from us, depleting us and abandoning us. Powers that tell us of our unworthiness, causing us to even abandon ourselves. Leaders that invite us to live lives contrary to the peace that Jesus grants us, and that aid in abandoning others. At times, these choices will unfortunately win, as we are all human. We will buy the newest thing we desire as we pass by a child in need of a sip of water on a hot summer day. We will believe that we are not good enough for anyone, even not deserving of God's love. We will go along with leaders because speaking up is difficult. It is here that we complain, reject, and betray Jesus. It is in these moments that Jesus remains steadfast, allowing us to wander while asking, "Do you want to leave too?" The answer is ours. Whom will we serve? Wander as the world is wide, ready for exploring. Wander knowing that God wanders with you into the wilderness and into the promised land. Wander with confusion and grumbling as God wanders with you, making new promises and granting second chances. Wander knowing that Jesus abides in us as the living bread. We are a people, just like our ancestors, wandering. God is a God that does not stay behind, but abides within us, wandering with us wherever we may go. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Wander and remember that all God has done for you. Wander, remembering to turn back to the one who has always been. Wander, rest assured that God goes with you, and as you go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit go with you this day and always. Amen.